Hey kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to another episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungry here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. I'm your host, Tyler Fornes. With me, as always, is Fred. He's confused about my intro, Moreland. How are you, sir?
Good, all right. I have been busy as hell, but I'm glad to finally have time to sit down and do this nonsense. How are you?
Good. And for those of you that don't know, that's an old Jimmy Fallon bit from Saturday Night Live, circa like 2004, where he Z105 DJ host, and you just be like, "Yeah, we're back," just with the absolutely cartoonish voice. And it's, you know, everybody has like eras of Saturday Night Live that they love. I loved watching Jimmy Fallon on Saturday Night Live. He was like kind of that first one of those first actors that really resonated with me. A lot of people, it's like, oh, Adam Sandler, Dana Carvey, Chris Farley. No, for me, it's Jimmy Fallon. But I'm also about to turn 35, so like my formative Saturday Night Live years, it's like Jimmy Fallon. That's like the perfect era. But we're not here to talk about Saturday Night Live. We're here to talk about All Elite Wrestling and what a fucking company this is right now, Fred.
Remember when we last talked and we talked about how it felt like they found a fresh new direction with this Jon Moxley group and how they could really be changing their fortunes with it and, you know, entering a new era of storytelling and this and that, all of these cool things we worked ourselves into a shoot about. Well, nevertheless.
Sorry, I was going to respond, but I was yawning. That's about where we're at with the direction of this company right now. It felt like it could be really good. It felt like, hey, we could have something. We could be in a position where this company could potentially take a step forward. And I think a lot of the issues that we've had over the past couple of years, starting with the Brochachos and, you know, the old phrase, shit rolls downhill. It's all coming home to roost, man. There are way too many cooks in the kitchen. There are way too many people helping make these decisions because there's no way that it should be this disjointed. There's no way you should have this much like dichotomy. There's no way that you should have like just this past week, they had back-to-back cowardly babyface promos. Back-to-back. Like what are we doing? Where is the continuity? And I go back to when they hired Will Washington. And like they announced the title is like being the guy who's going to help keep continuity and help like keep these things on track. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and blame Will, and we've talked about this before, but if you hire a guy for that, why isn't he doing that? Why aren't we seeing some of these things take place? Because both of us know Will is an incredibly smart and talented guy.
Yeah.
But you hired him to do that job, and he's more than capable of doing it. So why isn't he? And I think that stems from the top and how shit rolls downhill. And it's incredibly frustrating that we could be having this incredible wrestling product and we just don't.
Yeah, I watched because I was traveling and working and all this stuff. I missed several episodes live. So this week I watched the two episodes before the Young Bucks Private Party match. The Private Party match, I only got to that part of that episode. And then, of course, this week's episode. And it is kind of the vibes are bad. And it's not that the show is outright bad, because I've watched bad wrestling before. And that's not what AEW is top to bottom. There's segments that are bad. But the matches, I mean, this week, I think every match except for the Lashley squash, which is to be expected because it's a squash match, right? I went, every match was 3.5 to 4.25 stars. Like they're all the matches I thought were pretty good. And then you get to the not wrestling segments and it's, oh boy. The vibes are just really bad right now. I think I think maybe the worst pay-per-view build in AEW history. I just think the way that they approached so many of these stories, and I'm pretty damn close to saying all of them, but there's a couple that I do think have had fairly good builds. Nothing knocked out of the park though. I just, this ain't it. And I like to say that, yeah, you know, you do see them doing a couple of things better. Like they're actually announcing matches ahead of time, which is shocking that it took them like a year of falling attendance to be like, maybe we should tell people that they can come see things. But the issues extended beyond that. And it's not even so much like show layout or continuity. It's just, I think it's just creative. Like some of these storylines just suck. And it's up to Tony Khan, the rest of AEW leadership to figure it out. But they ain't yet. So very frustrating time right now to be an AEW fan, I think. I didn't even bother to take notes on like the current news stories regarding AEW, mainly because I think they're kind of overshadowed by, I think, the creative issues with the company. And I think it'd be best if we discuss the creative issues in the frame or through the lens of like what's coming up on this pay-per-view. So do you want to jump right into the heat check and kind of use that as a bridge to talk about like what our issues are and our issues with AEW, I should say?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me pull up the full lineup.
I got the card in front of me if you want me to just go through that.
Well, you know what? Let's do that, Fred. Go ahead and Let's talk about this.
All right. So I'm going to follow the listing on on the Wikipedia page, which has 10 matches listed, including one pre-show match. I have to assume they'll be adding more later, but we're recording this on November 22nd and there ain't a lot of time left. So, which leads me to another issue I have with AEW right now, which is just taking forever to announce matches. Like, they do a segment with Ricochet and Takeshita on this Dynamite, and they don't even bother to formalize the match until yesterday, on Thursday, the day after the show. And it's like, you've got this TV show that, you know, more than 500,000 people watch. 620,000 was it this week?
Yeah.
It's the most eyes you're going to have on your product probably at any one time. And to just have that angle and then not even actually announce the match, it's kind of like, what are we doing here? You know, frankly, it's just kind of baffling. But our pre-show match is QT Marshall against, you guessed it, Big Boom AJ, accompanied to the ring by Big Justice and the Rizzler as the special guest timekeeper. For you guys wondering if I've had a stroke, yes, maybe. But these three, AJ, Big Justice, and the Rizzler, are, you know, they're TikTokers. They are social media people. They got famous for doing videos about Costco, which spun off into a whole thing with them. They're pretty damn popular.
They've got 2.3 million followers on TikTok.
Yeah.
How much can you monetize off of that? How much that will actually have a factor? I can't put a tangible number on it, but somebody will be able to. That's not nothing.
Yeah, it's something. They're definitely a thing right now. I don't think it's really going to have legs for 5 years, you know, so they're going to work them in. Makes sense. Boy, if you want to hear someone be mad about a thing existing, go talk to Warren Hayes about AJ, Big Justice of the Rizzler. My God, does a dude hate people.
Well, Warren's going to hate my take because I love this. I think this is great. And let me tell you why. I think it's great for a multitude of reasons. One, like, pro wrestling in America has always been about trying to get into mainstream media and using mainstream media to your advantage. And while the Costco guys maybe aren't mainstream media in a traditional sense, I know the guys on the flagship have talked about like the mom test and celebrities and how celebrities 20, 30, 40 years ago are not the same as celebrities today. There's so many niche celebrities. There's so many celebrities in certain avenues of life, like TikTokers, Instagram models, streamers. Like, no, like most people didn't know who Logan and Jake Paul were in like my world. Until I think it was Logan that got kicked off of YouTube for the, I think it was at the
forest in Japan.
Yeah, the suicide forest. Like,
yeah,
I didn't know who they were, and then I found out who they were, and now because of them doing boxing and now WWE, they have become they can pass the mom test now. But that's kind of what we're looking at with celebrities. It's not Michael Jackson anymore. Taylor Swift is a generational type celebrity. She is like modern day Michael Jackson in the sense that her music is incredibly popular. She's very talented and she is known worldwide by pretty much everybody. Like, that is a celebrity. So it's just a different like medium right now for trying to utilize celebrities in pro wrestling. Here's why I love it, Fred. Big Boom AJ has done a better job of promoting Full Gear than the entirety of All Elite Wrestling. You know why? He's a pro wrestler. Like, he's got a history in the business. He's been in the ring multiple times. This, like, he's done such a great job of promoting this pay-per-view, and I don't know how much you're paying him and how much he's going to bring back to you, but this isn't just using some random ass celebrity. This isn't Snoop Dogg during the course of the pandemic era shows at Daly's place doing a frog splash. And it looks like garbage because it's Snoop Dogg. He's in his 50s and he's not exactly a great athlete. This is a guy who's been in the ring. This is a guy who knows how to promote. He knows how to work. Like, this match could easily be 3.5 stars, and I don't think it would be that big of a surprise. This is a different kind of celebrity. It's a unique process. And you know what? I would consider, like, taking how well he's promoted this shows, and I'd fucking use it. This could be a humongous wake-up call for how AEW presents and promotes their product, because somebody who's not even an employee of the company is promoting the show that he's on better than you are. And I think it's great. You know what? It's not really a big deal in canon because QT Marshall is a complete backstage. He's kind of a comedy goofball. It's just meant to have fun and bring some extra eyeballs to the product. You know what? That YouTube video is going to get millions of hits because it's the Costco guys. And you know what? If you can have on there a couple of like really good showcase matches, like what's his name? Like get like Dante Martin in a match and just let him do his cool flippy do stuff. Like, you can have some like really good pre-show matches, like that first Forbidden Door where they had four back to back to back to back really good matches. Do that. Like, I think that this is great. It doesn't really impact canon. It's a completely separate thing in the course of All Elite Wrestling. It's like canon, but if you were to just completely remove it, it wouldn't make any semblance of a difference other than that. And I think it's great. I'm at like an 8 because I want to kind of see, like, I personally don't care about the Costco guys. Who cares? But this isn't necessarily about me caring about the Costco guys. It's about everybody else potentially caring about the Costco guys. And I kind of want to see how QT Marshall handles this, because he's been historically good in these kind of weird spots where he's being asked to do something and carry a match and carry a feud. Well, he hasn't really had to carry this, but he's got the right kind of moxie and charisma and ability to be able to be really, really good in a spot like this. I don't expect Big Boom AJ to be a really good pro wrestler at this point in his life, but he knows how to work, which means they'll be able to put something entertaining together. And I think this could be really, really fun. And I'm all for it, because this isn't like Bad Bunny is one of the better celebrity wrestlers of all time. Like, Logan Paul is probably the best celebrity wrestler of all time. There are people who can come in and you can put together like a plunder match and you can do spots. Logan Paul, now you can put together an actual match, but this is a TikTok celebrity who's a classically trained pro wrestler. And I think that adds a different element that I don't think has gotten enough attention. You could get rid of this and I wouldn't give two shits, but it's here and I'm really intrigued how they put it together.
Yeah, I will say that of all the promos on this past Wednesday, the one that was definitely just, hey, watch my damn match, was the one cut by AJ. And kudos to him. It wasn't a bad one. I do think that sandwiching them around a commercial break, I could actually understand the reasoning that, hey, it'll be a tease and they'll stick around and come back, see them. I thought it was too much within a small period of time for these guys. But that said, like, I thought the content of the actual promo, not the private party part, the private party part was kind of a little cringe. But the actual AJ cutting a promo part was like, this is actually how pro wrestling should probably be done more often. Like, we don't need, like, well, we'll get to the things we don't need. There's a lot of stuff on this Dynamite we didn't need that nobody needs, and yet it happened. But anyway, what's your, you know, 1 to 10? Where are you for this match?
Oh, I said it. 8. Like,
8? Okay.
I mean, this is going to top out at best like a 3.5 star match. If they got to 4, I'd be floored. But it's probably going to be like a gentleman's 3, where the work is good, it's classic like style pro wrestling, and they're going to get Big Justice and the Rizzler involved in a way that's going to be entertaining for the TikTokers. And you know what? If you can get the TikTokers to come in and watch this, and then maybe they stay for like a couple like showcase matches throughout the course of like the pre-show, then maybe you can draw some extra interest, and maybe you can have some of these people on TikTok. This was pretty good. This was fun. I enjoyed it. And you know what? Do you know how many food recipes that my wife and I have made off of TikTok? Yeah. It's bonkers. Like, that's the only thing I like use reels for. French bulldogs and food. That's it. I don't care about really anything else when it comes to that kind of stuff. But food will draw me in and I'll be like, I want to eat that. And then I'll make it. Maybe you can get, like, even if you got like 100 people to check out an episode or two of Dynamite or Collision, that's an incredible win, because you would have paid somebody else to be on a pre-show match. And the 2.3 million followers, like, these videos from like the Costco guys are from AEW are probably going to do millions of hits. There is a tangible way to quantify that. I genuinely don't know what it is, because I know just speaking with people to advertise for like my YouTube show and podcast, they don't really know how to quantify some of this stuff. But I mean, this is general business owners. Like, it's a specific thing to quantify, like podcast ads and TikTok and stuff. I've got a buddy in PR in Canada, and they pay around like the higher profile ones, they pay around $10,000 to $12,000 for a couple of reels, like advertising ones. So like, there's a way to figure out how to monetize it. There's a way to figure out what's worthwhile and whatnot. This is an interesting strategy, and I think because you're using an actual pro wrestler here, I think it's a huge win to give it a shot. If it doesn't work, you know what? You tried with a pro wrestler. This isn't some actor cosplaying as a pro wrestler. This isn't some Paul Walter Hauser who's a mark who wants, like, and I don't mean that as an insulting term. Like, we're marks. Let's just be real. If we had the athleticism and the ability to, we'd probably try and get in the ring and try and do something, because it'd be cool as hell. But I'm almost 35 years old. I've got 4 incisional hernias that need repair. I'm not stepping in the ring. Like, but they like want to do something. That doesn't mean they can. This guy is a classically trained pro wrestler. Let's see what happens.
I am not as high on it as you. I'm at like a 5. I will be pleasantly surprised if it's as good as you're calling for it to be. I'm just expecting kind of a bunch of nonsense, not in a bad way.
I'm expecting a gentleman's 3, but I think it could get to like a 3.5 because it's 2 pro wrestlers.
Just because you got 2 pro wrestlers doesn't mean you're going to get 3 stars, though.
I know.
And, you know, I think it's going to be a lot of shtick, and we'll see how it goes. It could be good. It could be a disaster. I agree with you that I think it's worth a shot, but frankly, I'm surprised they have it on the pre-show.
I can tell you why you have it on the pre-show. Because the whole idea is to get people to watch it. Like, the people that are going to check out the TikTokers aren't going to spend $50 on a pay-per-view. They're going to watch it on YouTube. Like, and you know what? Can you say, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not the greatest idea to do that. I think it is the smart idea, because those people aren't going to pay just to see the Costco guys do an 8-minute match, but they damn well are going to watch it on YouTube. And then that's how you're going to be able to potentially get people to check out your television.
So I just don't see the path from, I'll watch the Costco guy do a wrestling match for free on YouTube to, I'll now become a AEW watcher. I just don't see that.
No, the idea is you're obviously going to put this on the end of the pre-show. This is going to be the last thing before the pay-per-view actually starts. Hopefully, they tune in for the whole pre-show because they don't know when it's going to be on. And then the first couple matches on the pre-show impress them, like, this is pretty fun. I'm enjoying myself. And then that's when they check out an episode or 2 of Dynamite. And then at that point, you have to hook them. Because if you see some, hey, this is kind of cool. Like, the whole reason I ended up checking out like wrestling when I first got started in 2003 was I saw like an ad on the old UPN for John Cena versus Eddie Guerrero in a parking lot brawl where they were going to throw each other on cars. I'm like, that sounds kind of fun. So guess what? I watched it and it hooked me because like it sounded kind of cool. Conceptually speaking, this could be that for them.
Okay. We'll see. I don't think it's going to end up. I think the best chance they had to get anything out of this as a company, other than, you know, vaguely claiming buzz, is that it would have been getting people to pay to watch it. Without doing that, like, I just don't see this being a successful conversion, but I guess we'll see. If there's an increase in ratings over the next month or so, then...
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you're going to draw thousands or even 1,000, but there's a real chance that you can get hundreds of people to check out Dynamite.
Hundreds? Hundreds, man? Oh my God, I can't believe that you're like saying this is good because it could draw hundreds of people for them.
Hey, here's like my main argument is you're exposing it to TikTok, and you're getting heavy promotion on TikTok. Look, let's say you can convert a couple hundred people to become like regular watchers. It's something. It's a start. You're already like they promoted the living shit out of this. I don't know what the tangible data is going to tell you, but they obviously believe in something. And we know that Chris Harrington is an incredibly smart individual. He must know something. Like there's a real chance that this could be a huge benefit for AEW. It could also be a complete flop. I am not delusional in that sense, but let's kind of see what happens.
My mind is open. I just
no, Fred. You're a hater.
I am a hater. I'm hated when they try to do something and it don't work, which is a lot of the time these days. And I will see on this one. I just don't see like people getting locked in on Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher because they saw a AJ QT Marshall match on the pre-show. So I just don't think that AEW's business handling of it is going to work out to their advantage. But all right, our next match on the proper pay-per-view card is a singles match between MJF and not Adam Cole, who boy has been a disappointment this month, but Roderick Strong, who has been not bad this month, but it's not exactly like we're getting like 2008 Roderick Strong out here either. So where are you at on this one, Tyler? What do you think of the build for it?
Are we getting End of Heartache Roderick Strong? If we get End of Heartache Strong.
No, I don't think we're getting that. I think we're getting Reading Glasses, Screaming Names, Roderick Strong. Because that's what we've been getting for months and months, so why change now?
I'm going to keep it very simple. If you get End of Heartache Roderick Strong that wants to come out and wrestle a fucking match, I'm at an 8, 8.5, 9. So I'm somewhere in there. Because I think that could be really, really, really good. And I think MJF could work incredibly well with Roderick Strong. I would put the ceiling of like 4.5, 4.75 on that match. If we get like Fred, Roderick Strong, 2, fuck that.
I think the creative building to this match has been pretty dreadful from what I've seen. These MJF hanging out in a dark room because he's so brooding things clearly all taped at once. They clearly I just don't think they worked at anything. It's more the, and I understand there's limitations because he's off filming his movie and all that, but like you can't tell me that this is hyping up match big when he's hanging out in his I built this based off a Castlevania room with his high back chair and making faces and trying to be all evil, and it's kind of trite at this point. This felt really trite whenever he was on screen. The Adam Cole thing, I understand that they want to finish the story here, but frankly it's not working. It's just kind of a flop, and Roderick, his matches that I've seen have been okay, like pretty good, but not like I'm all hepped up for this match. And there's a high propensity for bullshit with this storyline of these guys, and when you add all that together, I'm just trepidatious. You're right that it has a very high ceiling. If Roderick is full blast and if MJF is not doing a shtick, they could have a really, really good match. A great match. But I don't think the odds of that are better than 50-50. You know? I think there's a high probability that Adam Cole wander out with his awful spray tan, where it looks like he has jaundice. and liver damage Bebe will get in the ring or cause a distraction, and there'll be some issue. Also, the Kyle O'Reilly promo on the Go Home Dynamite to help, I guess, hype this match that Adam Cole's not in, but to basically be like, Adam, you're going to get everyone hurt. They're all going to die because of you. What the hell was that, man? I'm at a 4 on this. I'd love to see a really good match between them. That would be awesome, but I'm not on board with it. It's just the build was bad, and, you know, there's a lot of bad mojo here. So we'll see how it goes, but could be worst match of the night, you know, which I'm not saying lightly.
You're still talking about MJF and Strong, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's either going to be great or utter shit, and I don't think there's really going to be much of a difference in between.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This, if End of Heartache hits, I'm going to be hyped up. The Messiah, the Backbreaker. Destroy Max's back. That's what I want. Give it to me.
I mean, yeah. I don't think you're going to get that.
But, no, we're not going to get it. I mean, you may get some. Me off.
You may get some really good stuff along the way if they just work a straight match, but... All right, next up, we've got ourselves Hangman Adam Page and Jay White. I don't think the build to this has been fantastic, but I will say that it's been probably the, I don't know, my estimation, maybe the third best built match on this, maybe the fourth. And one of the, like, probably the last one I'd say is above water as a build. I'm going 8 on this because I think the match will be really good. They've had great matches before. They work really well together. And I actually think that it's not a great build, but it's been competent. And my God, at this point, I'll take that. What about you, Tyler? 1 to 10.
Why the fuck are we getting this match? We just had it.
Yeah, they don't like each other still, though. So I'm not complaining about them rematching these two.
Look, I think in a vacuum, this match will be good. But I think you could have done a way better job of trying to get to that next match, especially with kind of where Swerve is at character wise. Jay White is, like, it feels to me like they're doing this match. It just kind of came to me. Like, they're doing this match specifically because Jay White is going to headline Grand Slam in Australia. It's either going to be Jay White or Kyle Fletcher, or, God willing, both. You could get an all-Australia final, which could be, I don't know what that would do with the box office as far as a pay-per-view. But I think you could argue that it would be a great box office draw for Australia. I don't know. I think this match will be good. I don't know what kind of what they're going to do to build off their first match here. But I'm at like a 6. There's no juice. There's no extra layer of excitement. It's just Jay White. And right now, he's just kind of boring like cardboard. I don't know. Like, they could be doing so much more with him, and they're just fucking not.
Yeah, they've done that for a long time, but I mean, I think he's been underutilized ever since he came in, frankly. It's just that... You know, this has probably been one of the better things built in his entire run, which, okay. I don't know. I think it'll be a really good match. I've found the build pretty decent outside of a couple pretty comical botches early on with that, the interference in the Christian match. Getting botched pretty bad by Kip Sabian and or Adam Page. I'm not sure who's to blame there, but yeah. You know, it's, again, like, I think there's only been four matches on this show that have been built pretty well, and this is the least of them, but it is one of them. So next up is for a four-way tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship featuring the Outrunners, Kings of the Black Throne, and the Acclaimed, all challenging Private Party. I've admittedly missed a fair chunk of the build of this because it's been off of Dynamite, so I don't have huge takes on it, but looking at it, you know, I think the Outrunners are very fun. I think Kings of the Black Throne are legitimately a great team, and I am so over the Acclaimed that if I never saw them do a thing together again, it'd be too soon. So the Private Party, like, is extremely hit and miss, you know, so they have wide variance in terms of their performances. They've been getting better slowly, but, you know, they have gotten better. I don't know. I'm at like a 6.5, 7, somewhere around there for this one. It could top out to be pretty damn good, but I just, yeah, the Acclaimed hurts it to me. Tyler, your take?
I think this is all about the Acclaimed. I think we're finally going to get a turn at the end of this match. And honestly, I think it fucking kicks ass that the Outrunners are getting a title shot. But
yeah, that's cool.
Only in a four-way, because you can't really push them. Like, they are memes in a good way. They are jobbers. You don't want to push them. You shouldn't push them. Over-pushing them will kill everything that they are. But I think it's cool as hell that they are getting a title shot. And one of them is probably getting pinned. Let's just be real. But they're going to be over like hell in the building. I think it's going to be really entertaining. And let's go. I'm at like a 6, 6.5, 7, somewhere in there.
I actually think it's going to be either Bowens or Caster getting pinned and then setting up the turn.
With the turn, yeah, that makes sense.
That seems like classic wrestling logic. Though, with our luck, they'll just not be involved in the fall and then do the act for another year. You know, to continue diminishing returns. Our next match is for the TBS Championship with the challenger Chris Statlander going after Mercedes Moné, who will be accompanied to the ring by Camille. This has been a bad build. The sudden turn with really no, I mean, they try to do one after the fact, but still, like, no real justification for Chris Statlander turning face after being such a dastardly heel for like half a year. These Mercedes Moné segments all suck. They're all straight out of WWE's playbook, and they're all done poorly. Mercedes Moné is on my short list for, if not like the old, you know, the Observer newsletter most overpushed, like outright the most overused person in wrestling. The most disappointing is where I am with her. Like, I just think she's fallen completely flat outside of like a couple of matches that were pretty good, but not great. And so, yeah, man, this is just very, very disappointing, I think. The match could be pretty good. We'll see. Again, I think Mercedes has lost her in-ring fastball in addition to completely being unable to do much outside of the ring in a positive way. So, yeah, that's where I am. I guess I'm at a 4. Tyler?
1, who cares? Like, that's harsh, fair. But Mercedes, like, we love the fact that they brought her in. It was a no-brainer to bring her in. She's considered by many to be the greatest women's wrestler in the history of the United States of America. She's been fantastic pretty much in doing everything. The second she got here, it's like she forgot what made her great, what made her special. And she relied too much on this old WWE shtick. And it's completely ruined everything that was great about her for whatever reason. Maybe part of it is the fact that she just can't do like some of the things that help make her special because of the broken ankle. Like there was talk, and she, I think it was actually Moné that said it, that she nearly like at nearly ended her career. Like that's a big fucking deal. So I don't know. I don't care. I used to be super high on Statlander, but injuries have kind of destroyed her too. I'm just good, man. I'm good.
Yeah, just extremely disappointing run, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon or ever, possibly. Just big old disappoint. All right, next match. Bobby Lashley, Swerve Strickland in a singles match. One assumes MVP will be with Lashley, possibly Shelton Benjamin. Tyler, I'll go ahead and let you talk about this one first.
Oh, I can't wait for this. I'm at like a 9.5. I think the Hurt Business or Syndicate, what are they calling them? Is it the Hurt Syndicate?
I think the Hurt Syndicate, yeah.
Okay. I'm getting the WWE name mixed up with the AEW name. This has been fantastic. It's been great. If you didn't know that Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley were in their late 40s, you would never know they're in their late 40s. They've been presented incredibly well. They look great. Their wrestling has been good. We've seen less of Lashley than we have of Shelton Benjamin, but this has been fantastic. And I think that these two could put on a tremendous match. I'm into it. I'm really into it.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this. I don't know how it'll be as a match. That is a bit of hesitancy for me. I think Lashley isn't washed or anything, but you know, he's never been exactly the best worker. He's not bad at his best. We'll see how he does. I haven't seen much from him, obviously, in AEW with just kind of the one squash, which I thought he was all right in. We'll see how he works with Swerve, how the match goes and all that. I think the build to this has been very good, though, primarily because of MVP's work. And I mean, Shelton and Lashley just come off like stars. I think Swerve hasn't been bad exactly, but I don't think he's exactly been given much material to work with. So that's kind of why I'm not like really praising him super strong. It's been all right, but I'm not like, woo, you know, about it. So yeah, I'm at like a, we'll go with an 8 here. I could see the match being like a little solid, you know, rather than great or anything, but I'll take that, you know. There's other stuff on this card that's going to be really good. And it's not like the quality of this card's match quality is going to be hinging entirely on this match. So I'm a little optimistic about it. We'll see how it goes. I'm intrigued, though, I think more than anything else. Looking pretty cool, frankly. Next match, Daniel Garcia is challenging Jack Perry for the TNT Championship. Tyler, I'm going to give myself the main event slot on this one, so you go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I was really high on the Jack Perry turn. I thought it was incredibly well executed, and I thought at times we saw this real edge from him that we hadn't seen as Jungle Boy. It felt like he was taking this step forward, and now it just feels like he's been kind of stagnant. There hasn't been a ton of growth when you felt like that you were going to start to see it a little bit more exponentially. It hasn't manifested like that. And this feels like Daniel Garcia is just going to lose this match because of kind of where these characters are at. And I hate that. I think it sucks. I'll be pleasantly surprised if Garcia wins, but it certainly doesn't feel that way. I'm just going to be at a 5. I don't really know how to feel about this because of what Jack Perry was trending to be and what he's become. It's, I don't know, Daniel Garcia staying absolutely rules. It was huge for the company to be able to lock him in some kind of long-term basis, but you got to use him better, man. You got to use him better.
I genuinely hope that him winning the TNT Championship is a thing that happens, and that's the start of that. Boy, Jack Perry's been a disappointment. Talk about disappointments in AEW. He's one of the bigger ones this year. Match quality has been meh. Angle quality is like him driving a bus. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to do for me. Congrats on desert bus in real life, buddy. It's just kind of, it comes off very like I'm trying to be like it's play acting. It has no verve to it that gives it any kind of like reality. So it's just him doing shtick, like, oh, look at me, I'm such a tough guy heel. And it doesn't come across with any veracity whatsoever. And then we have this ridiculous segment on Dynamite this week, and I guess on the previous Collision, where he is kidnapped by Daniel Garcia and Daddy Magic so that they can tie him to a chair, have him lit up by his truck or his van, and then Daniel Garcia breaks a headlight and walks out. Cool. What the fuck is that supposed to do for me? This, you know, that like really took the wind out of the sails for me on this match. They could surprise us and have a good match, but I think Jack Perry's been very disappointing in his post-turn run in AEW. Like, he managed to have, I think, one of the worst Bryan Danielson matches the past couple of years. It wasn't bad. It was pretty good, but like, you know, me and you could get a good match out of Bryan Danielson, you know, at this point. I'm at a 4. I expect it to be probably a 3.75 star match or something like that, but I just hope that, you know, I'm out on Jack Perry. I think he's been a wash, and it's been very frustrating, and yeah. Fortunately, we have coming up next Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay, and buddy, slapping that 10. Looking forward to this one a lot. It'll be a great match. Fletcher, I think, has secretly been one of the top 20 or so wrestlers in the world this year. I think Ospreay is phenomenal, arguably the best wrestler in the world. And I'm really excited for this. I think it's been pretty well built. I think that not fantastic or anything, but pretty well. There was this one segment that kind of heard it where Kyle Fletcher came out and was like, I don't have to explain anything to you people. And it was like, oh my God, we're doing like the most generic 2011 WWE heel turn promo possible. But other than that, I think it's been pretty well built. Him shaving his head in the ring was a great segment. I mean, it's Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. I don't know what else you want from me.
More Will Ospreay and more Kyle Fletcher. This is fucking AEW. This is what AEW's heart and soul used to be. Like, we have one of the greatest wrestlers in the world and arguably the best wrestler of all time. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to put him in with a young buck who could also be a great wrestler for this company. And we're going to elevate him. And we're going to continue to have great fucking matches on these pay-per-views. This is AEW. This is the epitome of it. This is what the heart and soul of the company is. This is what they need to get back to more. I love this. I love this. My head says Will Ospreay is going to win this match. And I think he should, because I don't think Fletcher should beat him until Australia. But my heart says, well, it's Will Ospreay. He wants to lose to everybody. I genuinely have no idea how they're going to make this thing work. I would expect, Fred, we're going to get, we're going to get a screwdriver in this match at some point.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm fucking excited for this, man.
Yeah, I think it'll be really good. Very excited to see what happens with it. And hoping for... I expect a little BS, you know, just because of the Callis family and heel shenanigans and such. That's not inherently bad. I thought they pulled it off well the last time they had a big match and they did heel shenanigans. I am hopeful that we get a great match here. And speaking of very likely great matches, Ricochet will be challenging Konosuke Takeshita for the AEW International Championship. Hell yeah. I'm at a 10 on this one. The build has been weak, but frankly, I mean, it goes back to that triple threat three-way, that was fantastic, and I'd love to see these two work again, and we're going to get it, and that rules. I don't need much else.
This is fucking AEW, man. This is why this is why I started to watch this company. This is why I started doing a podcast on this company. More of this. A lot more of this.
Please.
Like, oh, good Lord, please. I have a sneaky feeling that maybe, because I know right now it's booked as a double title match at Wrestle Dynasty, but I got an inkling that maybe Takeshita loses here.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that.
I'd put it at about a 25% chance he loses, but it's not zero. And it, you want to build up Ricochet. You want to do this. And then you can go into, because I think if it's a double title match, Takeshita wins no matter what. I do. I don't think you're putting two titles on Shingo Takagi. Now, would I put two titles on Shingo Takagi? Abso-fucking-lutely. Will New Japan
want that? Let's make him the AEW World Champion.
Oh, good Lord. Don't tease me with a good time.
Man, you know what? The TBS champion. Fuck it. Let's just give him all of them. I didn't misspeak there. I'm not joking.
Eight belt Takagi. Let's do it. Let's make him Ultimo Dragon just, circa 1994.
Exactly. Yeah.
You
know what I'm talking about. Hell yeah.
But
he and Willow Nightingale actually could have a pretty damn good match.
God, if they ever do an intergender tag team, Shingo and Willow would be like peak dumb jock wrestling and like power moves. Like, oh yes please. Outside of that, like if you take the title off of Takeshita, I think it becomes a much more I don't know what's gonna happen kind of conclusion than if you have the title on Takeshita. So to like where my brain is at, that's why I think this could end up being something. And this is fucking AEW. This is why you watch the program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. I'm hyped for this, man. This should be great. This should be really great. All right, our main event is Orange Cassidy challenging Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship. We've had all this build. We've had Orange Cassidy doubting himself, which, boy, can we have wrestlers stop doubting themselves, especially babyfaces, and then also babyfaces stop doubting their finishing move, just to throw that in there, too. It's tiring. Orange Cassidy has already set himself up to be the dumbest man alive by refusing to have anyone go to ringside to help him out. So if they stick to that, he will just look like a giant nerd when he gets beat because five people interfere in his match. Cool. Great. Match quality, it should be great. Like 4-star-ish is a pretty safe bet. I can't envision them. You know, Moxley is motivated, so it's not going to be like when he was kind of like, oh, wrestling sucks, you know, earlier, like at the start of the year. So with all that, like, I think this should be a good main event. You know, it won't be the best match of the card with those two we just talked about. I think at least one of them will be better, if not both. That's more or less it. Orange will lose. He may be murderized, which, frankly, I hope I hope we get back to the Moxley group killing people. More of that and less of Orange Cassidy being doubtful, you know. just kill a dude, man. Just do the pro wrestling kill a dude thing.
Fuck this, man. Like, this could have been really good. This could have been really cool, and it's just not.
Yeah. Especially after they had that great previous pay-per-view main event, you know?
They dropped a ball on Orange Cassidy. They dropped it hard.
Yeah. The build for him for this match has been pretty bad. Pretty makes him look weak, and it's just self-defeating. It's like when you had the whole Hangman Page doubts himself storyline, like that was over like a literal year, you know, years, frankly. So it made a lot of sense because he gave it time to breathe. You had it develop. You had him eventually get his shit together and be the hero everyone wanted. Orange Cassidy has had like 3 weeks to be like, oh, I'm going for the world title, and shucks, darn it, I'm just not a leader, but I guess I'll have to fight a guy for the sake of AEW. On a related note, if we could just stop with the whole we've got to save AEW thing, like, I feel like that might be like unintentional meta commentary on Tony Khan, like being, you know, insecure about criticism he's facing about his product right now. Like, just have them be a badass group that's trying to run roughshod over the company and have it be less of a, like, oh, we gotta stop them to save the good name of AEW. Like, I don't... My God, you've been around for 5 years, you know? Like, a couple of those years have been filled with a lot of real questionable decisions, so... You know, I think it's possibly contributing to like the whole vibes of the company being weird is having like everyone be like, we've got to make AEW what it was, and it's like, you've been saying that for 2 years, maybe just stop talking about it and just do it.
But, here's what I have to say. Just, it's just a bunch of poo. It sucks. Yeah. I hate it. Go away.
What a bummer of a show we're doing here. But that is the card, and I guess that's our feelings on it, which is, this has been a rough month for AEW. It hasn't had anything as bad as, like, the worst of the Brochachos, you know? But, like, at least when the Brochachos was going on, you had, like, the C2, and you had various other really good things going on. And I don't think there's been really a great build for this show. There'll be some great matches, don't get me wrong, but as far as the build, as far as watching the weekly TV, nah, man.
Look, the build is ass, but it's also an AEW pay-per-view, and you buy them until they suck because they almost always deliver. And yeah. I bet this is going to deliver. Like,
But my big issue is obviously with the quality of the TV. And I think that's the big issue they have is people buy your pay-per-views because of what you just said. They're always awesome. But if you've got a, TV show that's like a slog to get through every week, then no wonder you're down to 600-ish viewers, you know?
Yeah, no shit, right?
Maybe have a good TV show. That's my professional advice.
Oh,
I should be a consultant. Maybe I could bilk Tony Khan for a lot of money.
I like that idea. I like that a lot. I really do. Like, it's getting ridiculous, man.
Yeah. It's been a rough year for the company, and they haven't done much to get in gear, so maybe they will finally, hopefully.
Yeah, but that is the heat check. And Fred, it was good to be back.
It was good to be back.
It's been a weird month not being able to sit down and talk shop with you.
Yeah. Things just kept happening.
Yeah, they did. And we are going to hopefully be back next week. Might get a little weird with the Thanksgiving holiday, but we will try and find some time and chat some All Elite Wrestling. Make sure you like, subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and tell us why Thanksgiving turkey gravy is the best food in the holiday season, because it is. This is gravy propaganda, and I'm okay with that.
Nothing. You gotta have stuff. I'm all about the desserts, so
Oh, I love desserts. My mom makes a pumpkin chiffon pudding.
Oh, hell, that sounds great.
It's basically pumpkin pie filling, add gelatin, and whip it into a meringue. It's awesome.
That sounds, frankly, Midwest as hell, but I'd try it, so.
Oh, it looks like pumpkin pie filling, except it's springy. It's like spongy. Yeah. It's really,
that is
really
extremely good. Like Big Ten country bullshit.
Well, I'm in peak Big Ten country, so that's perfect.
Exactly.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm Tyler. He's Fred. We will talk to you later.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Take care.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.
If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.